It is true, life is full of uncertainty. If there's anything true about life itself, it's that it's unchanging, unpredictable, it moves in every direction, it seems. But God is never surprised by that, is he? God always knows what's going on. He's always guiding us and caring for us. Even when times seem the best and things look completely certain, we know that sometimes things are uncertain in this world in which we live. This past week, the stock market had record gains. We might forget that just 10 years ago, things were looking pretty bad in this country. Financially, things were looking difficult for a lot of people. I was reminded of it this week. I read a study by Daniel Gilbert, a psychologist at Harvard. 10 years ago, 2009, just when the Great Recession was really getting underway, he read some studies himself and interpreted those studies in an article that he published. And he talked about the fact that 2009, remember the context, 10 years ago, he said, this year Americans are the saddest and most unhappy they've ever been. He said, this year we're losing sleep more than ever. We're depressed more than ever. We're struggling in nearly every part of our life more than we ever have. And he says, most people would think that was because of insufficient funds. We are stressed about finances. And Gilbert goes on to speculate, that's not the problem. The problem is not the lack of funds. The problem is uncertainty for the future. And he used this for an example. He brought up a study that had been done in the Netherlands by scientists who wanted to consider how people react in stressed, uncertain situations. And here's what the scientists did. This is just the kind of study you'd love to be a part of. They collected two groups of people, and they told one group of people, we're going to shock you intensely 20 times in a row. 20 intensive shocks. That group. Second group, they said, we're going to shock you mildly 17 times, but three times intensely, but you will have no idea when those three times are coming. Which group do you think was the most stressed out? Group number two. See, group number one had certainty and boundaries. They knew precisely what was coming, even if it would be unpleasant, they knew what was going to happen. Group number two had escalated heart rates. They sweated profusely. They showed every signs of intense stress for no other reason than uncertainty of what was about to happen. Gilbert's conclusion to the article went something like this. Our problem is not insufficient funds. Our problem is insufficient certainty. That's where we find our friend Jacob this morning. You'll recall from last week, our Old Testament character Jacob had stolen his older brother Esau's blessing from their father, enraging Esau, and Esau committed himself to killing his younger brother when the time would come that their father would pass away. He said, I'm going to go after my brother. I'm going to kill him. Their mother, Rebekah, loves Jacob more than Esau, the Bible says, shows very evident favoritism. So she collects up Jacob and his belongings, and she says, you're going to have to leave. You can't stay here or your brother will kill you. And everything that Jacob thought he would have to live for, everything in his life he expected and anticipated, he would have to leave behind. And Rebekah, his mother, who loved him so much, she helped him steal his twin brother's birthright, is now sending him away. And as history records it, they never saw one another again after that moment. So Jacob is now a fugitive from his own homeland and his own family. And she sends him to her brother, his uncle, Laban, 500 miles away. He has no idea now what to expect. When he looks in the rearview mirror, everything he thought was going to happen in his life, everything he thought that was good, whether he stole it or worked for it, either way, it's gone, and now his brother wants to kill him. By his own poor decisions, he finds himself a fugitive on a journey he never expected. It's the journey of Jacob that will take up the rest of the story of Jacob, and as we'll see it this summer. It's that journey of faith, because Jacob doesn't really start growing spiritually until he is moving forward on his journey, until he no longer has what he thought was going to be his future. Now he has to trust God with a future. Now he's got to move forward into an uncertain future. He is the definition of uncertainty where we find him this morning. And often we find ourselves in a similar situation. We thought life was going to go a certain way, and now we find ourselves right at the center of uncertainty. We don't have an insufficiency of plans. They just didn't work out. We have an insufficiency of certainty. We have no idea how we got here, and if we do, we can't believe it, and we don't know what comes next. And when we look in the rearview mirror, the path may be littered with our own bad decisions, our own making of the mess, or it could have been something we had nothing to do with, but at any rate, here we are. And we're very uncertain about what comes next. As Jacob will learn, the good news for us also is whatever journey you're on, whatever path you're on, is straight into the presence of God. God is not surprised. Even though Jacob is surprised, God is not surprised by what comes next. And God is never surprised by what comes next in our lives. And anytime you're on that path of uncertainty, look up, because you're headed straight for God. Look with me in Genesis chapter 28 this morning. Genesis chapter 28, your Old Testament. We pick up in the story where Jacob leaves his home country to go to his uncle Laban's house as his mother has sent him off. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. Genesis 28 and verse 10. And the Bible says, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and lay down in that place. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching the sky, and God's angels were going up and down on it. The Lord was standing there beside him saying, I am the Lord, the God, God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land on which you are lying. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out toward the west, the east, the north, and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Look, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid, and he said, what an awesome place this is. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. At this stage, Jacob is about 3 days into his journey. A journey of 500 miles, and he's only made it 50 to 60 miles so far, walking on foot through tough terrain. He gets weary at a place called Luz. So he lies down for the night. The sun has set. He uses a rock for something like a pillow, and he goes to sleep, and he dreams. And what happens next is forever embedded in the history of Israel and the people of God as a turning point in our history. And it's the reason that place was renamed as Bethel. If you do a little biblical research, you'll find that Bethel pops up all through the Bible. There are even churches today named Bethel Church. And this is the reason for it. But that was not the name when he showed up. And yet when Moses recorded this story, notice that Moses does not use the name Luz. Instead, he says, that certain place. Very literally, the place. A specific place that everyone would be aware of, and which elicits a bit of excitement in the pen of Moses. He showed up at the place. And everybody knows what that place is. Because starting this night, that place will be renamed Bethel, the house of God. Because much to his surprise, God showed up when Jacob least expected it. My favorite line in the whole story is when Jacob says, I had no idea God was here. Isn't that great? He woke up the next morning and said, I had no idea God was here. Have you ever had an experience like that? You showed up at what thought you would be your place of uncertainty. I have no idea what's going on. And the next thing you know, you hear yourself saying, I had no idea, but God was here. Look what God did. When God showed up, He took away my uncertainty. He replaced it with certainty. The place that I called uncertain, He called certain. And I now call it the house of God. It's God's place, not mine. And that's what God wants to do for you. On that path of uncertainty, God wants to remind you of the things that matter most. Just as He does for Jacob at this point. He reminds you of the things that matter most. The things that make a journey with God a journey of certainty, not uncertainty. The things that matter most are not your talents, your skills, your plans, your provisions. The things that matter most belong to God. And those are the things He brings to you in that place of uncertainty. Maybe you've arrived at a place just like that. God, this is not at all what I expected. Not where I thought I would be at this time. And you're going to come out the other side saying, wow, I had no idea what God would do. That God would show up. That God was there. God wants to remind us of the things that matter most this morning, just as He did with Jacob. Let's go back to the text to consider the things that matter most when you're at that place of uncertainty. The things that God wants you to remember along the way. First, in that place of uncertainty, God reminds you of His person. God reminds you of His person. This is probably one of the best known stories in all of the Old Testament, mostly because of the way the King James Bible translated it. And the King James Bible translates what we read as a staircase, the King James Bible translates as a ladder. You've even seen paintings of the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder in Jacob's dream. And we even call it Jacob's dream and often Jacob's ladder. But it's translated here as a staircase, and the truth is, scholars really don't know exactly what the word means that's translated ladder or staircase. Either one's fine. It's never used anywhere else in the Bible, and it's hardly ever used elsewhere in ancient literature. But clearly what it refers to is a mechanism by which the angels of God lean against heaven and descend to earth and return to heaven. The point of the picture is not whether it's a staircase or a ladder. The point of the picture, the point of that part of the dream, is God's proximity to the things of earth, God's intimacy with His man Jacob and with you and with me, God's activity on earth. That's the point. And in case we miss the point, God starts talking. And He talks to Jacob. And the Bible says, as we read it, He's standing beside Jacob. Again, that's a tough word for most scholars, and some of your Bibles might translate it above Jacob. Either one is actually correct, but either one means the same thing. He was right there with Jacob. Got Jacob's attention by seeing the angels going up and down, and He turned to Jacob, and He spoke to Jacob. And when He did, God identified Himself in the way Jacob would know best. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac. Jacob, going forward, you need to know I am still your God. I'm the same God I was to your grandfather and your father, to Adam and Eve in the garden, to Noah at the flood, to Gideon. I'm the same God for everyone coming forward and everyone before you, Jacob. I'm God. That hasn't changed. And the reason you need to know that in the place of uncertainty is because it matters who you trust. You need to put your trust in me. God says, the same God, the unchanging God. Your circumstances will change, and right now you feel like they're uncertain, but God has not changed. He is the same God. He loves you the same. He leads you the same. He forgives you the same. He strengthens you the same. He is your God. He has not changed. He's the same God. And here's the best part. You can call Him by name, and you and I call Him by the name Jesus. He is your God. And let that sink in for just a minute. Jacob was having a conversation with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. He was talking to your God. The first thing that matters most is the person of your God. And what you need to remember is He has not changed. And when you made a mess of what's behind you on the path, he did not abandon you. He did not forsake you. And what you call uncertain, God calls life. And says, let's move forward because I'm the same God. Trust your God. I do wonder on Jacob's for Jacob's part, do you ever think about this? If in his past he thought, you know, I've heard the stories that my grandfather had of meeting God on the mountain. I've heard the stories my father tells me of his father, my grandfather, raising the knife to kill him and sacrifice him to God. And God showed up and provided a ram. I've heard the stories all along of how God took care of Abraham and Isaac. I wonder if God will ever do that for me. And that day he finds out, yes. And it's the same God, not a different God, not a lesser God, not a diminished God, not some God somewhere out there that you've got to invent or make up. This is the same God that God's people have known all along. And he shows up for you, just for you. The first thing God does when we face uncertainty is remind us of his person, because nothing matters more than who you trust. And you trust your God. He's going to walk you through this. Second, when we face uncertainty, God reminds us of his plan. He reminds us of his plan. Not just plans in the plural, not just any plan. He reminds you of his plan for you. He said, Jacob, listen up. I'm going to give you the same promise I gave Abraham and I gave Isaac. I want you to know, Jacob, that even though you messed up, which you surely did, my plan has not changed, and you're still part of it. So, Jacob, where you lie today is ground zero for the making of God's people. From this place, the people of God will filter out and bless the nations for generations. You're the promise still, Jacob. I'm not taking that away. You're still in my plans. Isn't it good to know God doesn't give up on you? And when you reach that place of uncertainty and you know you've made a mess of the past, you can remember God still has for you a plan, a certain future. And God is directing you, guiding you, just waiting for you to trust him again, that he will lead you forward. It matters most who you trust. And then it matters what you trust about him. He has a plan for you. But don't miss this. When God wants us to know his plan, when God wants to impart his passion, his purpose, or his heart, he speaks to us. And today God speaks to us through his word. If you are not in God's word, you will not be encouraged, you will not be strengthened, you will not be moving forward in God's plan, because you will not be connected to God and him speaking to you. You need to be in God's word. God speaks to his people, and his word is an anchor for his plan. And when you return to his word, you're reminded and you're encouraged, and you are certain of God's word. The circumstances are uncertain. God is never so uncertain, and God's word is never uncertain. It's his word that is absolute and certain. That's your anchor. To know his plan and to trust him again, you have to be in his word. The Horseshoe Falls of Niagara Falls drop 180 feet straight down. And right before that, there are rapids right before the falls. But upstream from those rapids and from the Horseshoe Falls is calm water and boats on the water. And there's a bridge across the river right before things are going to get precarious. There's a bridge across the river, and hanging on the bridge are two signs facing the side of calm water so boats can read them. And each sign has a question. And the first question is, do you have an anchor? The second question is, do you know how to use it? When you are not anchored to God's word, you are floating toward disaster. And you are resting at best in uncertainty. You have no idea what's coming next. Where do you find out? You open God's word. You get with God, you let him speak to you in his word. He will strengthen you, he will remind you that his plan has not changed for you. So God first reminds us of his person. We need to remember that the most. Second, what matters most, God reminds us of his plan. When you face an uncertain future, remember God has a plan for you. He doesn't withdraw that plan simply because you made a mistake or you feel uncertain or the circumstances have changed, but he wants you to ask forgiveness, to get in his word, to get back on track with him, to stay in his plan. And then third, when we face an uncertain future, when you face an uncertain future, God reminds you of his presence. God reminds you of his presence. This is the key to the whole story. It's said absolutely, it's said out loud, and it's implied, and it's demonstrated. God shows up. And at the end of it, Jacob responds, I had no idea God was what? Here. God is present. He is here. He's in my life. And just in case Jacob misses it, God not only shows up and God not only affirms his presence, God attaches a promise to his presence. God says, Jacob, I will never leave you. I'm going to go with you wherever you go from here. And he says, the reason for that, Jacob, is that I will fulfill all of my promises. I will never leave you until every promise I have made to you and to your family and to the heritage of faith, every promise will be fulfilled. God's presence is his greatest promise. That's when Jacob wakes up and responds, I had no idea. I had no idea God was here. And you can read so much into that sentence, can you? I had no idea God loved me that much. I had no idea God would stay with me. I had no idea God still had a plan for me. I had no idea that God would still use me in the greater work of God. I had no idea that I still had any value to God in this great plan. And God's promise is he will never leave you. Never leave you until he finishes what he's going to do. When Jacob wakes up, he worships. Read the story tonight. When Jacob wakes up, he worships. But before he does, he gets in an attitude of worship. How else are you going to respond when God shows up? And the Bible says that he said, this is awesome. You kind of hear that, can't you? Man, this is awesome. We've diminished that word a lot because it's not an exclamation that something's really cool. The way Jacob uses it is the right way to use it. It really means he is struck with awe fully. Fully and full, he is awed by what he's experienced. And the emotions that come out of that are fear and reverence. He is awestruck, and that leads him to worship. And that's how we should respond when we realize that God is here. God is in this place. We respond with worship. We are awestruck by Almighty God. Ask yourself this. Suddenly a portal to heaven were to open up and a ladder were to descend in front of you even now, and you saw the angels of God doing what they're actually doing, but you haven't seen them do it, but then you see them visibly. You see the angels of God ascending and descending, and God shows up and God speaks to you, and then that portal to heaven closes quietly before you. Would you still sit there? Would church be regular church again? You know what I think? I think next Sunday we'd wake up and the first thought on our minds would be, we're a little afraid to come to church. We're not complacent anymore. We're not apathetic anymore. We're not going through the motions anymore. We're a little bit afraid because if God showed up, he'll show up again. And if he does, what's he going to say to me? When the first women found the tomb empty, the Gospel of Mark in his story records a little editorial comment that when they fled the tomb, they fled with joy and great trembling. And I've always thought about that. I always thought, joy because the Lord's alive, great trembling because what if we run into him? How would you respond? That's why we rely on the grace of Almighty God. He is a gracious God. that meets you in your uncertainty, that shows up when you least expect it, to remind you who He is and then who you are in the great work and the great plan of God. And most of all, to remind you, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And He always loves you. And did you know He even gives you the same promise? Did you know that? Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says that God gives you the Holy Spirit as a promise that He will make sure you make it all the way through to the day of redemption for the praise of His glory. Because when you show up in glory, Jesus is going to go, look what we did. Look what we did. And did you know that God has opened the portal? Did you know that? Did you know that every single Sunday morning when you sit in here, you are looking at the doorway to heaven? A visible reminder that God showed up and He opened heaven for anyone who would come. They can be forgiven. They can serve Him. They can come to Him, and the door remains open and only requires that we trust Him. The ladder is Jesus, and the reminder is that. He has come. The staircase is Christ. The cross is your reminder. The road lies ahead. Will you follow Him forward, remembering the things that matter most, who He is? He is your God in Jesus Christ. He has a plan for you. Uncertainty or circumstances. God is your certainty. And He never leaves you. And He never forsakes you. A writer that I enjoy, a man named Alistair McGrath, wrote a book called Doubting. And in that book, he tells a little story of his 80-year-old aunt who passed away. She had never married. And he didn't know her really well. But she passed away. No husband, no children, so the family came to clean out her effects, to get everything in order. And when they did, they found a little photograph of a young man, aged and worn photograph. And so the children asked her brothers and sisters who that was in the photograph. And they smiled and said, "You probably never knew this, but your aunt was in love at one time. And the relationship ended tragically, but her love for him never went away. So she kept the picture." And they said, "Oh, a picture to remind her of the man she loved." And they said, "Well, a little bit, but mostly a picture to remind her that someone loved her." That's what that is, folks. If you're in the circumstances of uncertainty, your God just showed up. And He surprises you with His love for you, with His grace, with His kindness, and with the reminder, the ringing words, "Trust me, trust me." Will you trust Him today? Will you say again, "God, I'm not going to let the circumstances dictate what I think about you. I'm going to let you tell me of your love, your presence, your plan for me." Will you trust God with your circumstances? Trust God with your future? Trust God with your present? And listen, trust God with your past. He knows what to do with it. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, there may be one or two, three, maybe more in here this morning who are carrying the weight of uncertainty. They look at their lives and what they lack, what's insufficient, is certainty. And the circumstances they are in, they had no idea they would ever be at this place. Heavenly Father, my simple prayer is that we would bring that to you. We would surrender all to you this morning. We would surrender the past. We would surrender the worry and uncertainty of the present. We would surrender the future to our God who loves us, who shows up for us. God, surprise us with your grace, your plan, your power. Surprise us with that reminder of who you are in Jesus Christ. So God, I pray for us today that we would bring all of that to you. I pray for that one who needs Christ as their Savior, that today, God, they'd trust Jesus and ask Him for eternal life. They could receive forgiveness of sin and receive the home in heaven that He gives. When we trust Jesus, our ladder, our staircase, our access to heaven. God, if just one in here has never done that, may they trust Christ today. So God, we bring to you our worries, our burdens. We bring to you our uncertainty. We bring to you our circumstances. And we bring to you our future. And we thank you, God, for surprising us. Thank you, God, that you are here today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.